After Eliezer and Lavan arranged the shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka, the pasuk tells us, "Vayivarchu es Rivka." They blessed Rivka. "Vayomer la achaisenu at hiyi l'alfei rivava." Our sister, you should multiply a thousandfold. So from here, the Brisa Masechtas Kala Perek Alef Halacha Aleph derives the halacha of Sheva Brachos, that one is supposed to bless the Chassan and the Kala when they get married, and as we'll see throughout the following 7 days as well. Just parenthetically, though, the bracha that they give to Rivka is Achaseinu At Hiyi L'Alfei Rivava. You should be multiplied a thousandfold. The Sefer Karnayim, which is a 17th century Sefer on Kabbalah, it's also found in the Siddur of the Rashash of Rav Shalom Sharabi, who's an 18th century Yemenite Mekubal. The Karnayim actually was one of the Rebbeim of Rav Shimshon Me'Astropolia, one of the more famous Mekubalim. So he claims that this bracha, Achaseinu At Hayi L'Alfei Rivava, is Rashi Tevas Aleph Aleph Hay, which is one of the Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's used to prevent Ayin Hara. That's what we find in last week's parsha, that after Avram Avinu, the Malachim inform Avram Avinu and Sarah that she's going to become pregnant and have a baby. So the pasuk says, "V'Sarah Shomas Pesach Ha'el V'Hu Acharav." She hears someone behind her in the hallway, and then later on, "V'Titzachak Sarah B'Kibal Limor Ha'afum No Meleid Banizakanti." She laughs at the notion that she's going to have a child. So that's already disturbing. Why is it that Sarah is laughing when she hears that she's going to have a child? Sarah is a greater Nevi'ah than Avram Avinu. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, "Kol she'etom ha'elecha Sarah shema b'kayla." She was greater than Avram Avinu. In fact, she was a Navi even without Avram Avinu. Most of the Imohos only had Nevu'ah by virtue of the fact that they were married to either to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. Sarah is described at the end of Parashas Noach as Yiska, says Rashi in the name of the Gemara, because she was Seicha B'Ruach HaKodesh. She already had Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah even without being married to Avram Avinu. She was a great Nevi'ah. Why is it then that she laughed when she heard about the tidings that she was going to become pregnant and give birth? So the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel comments on the pasuk V'Sarah Shomas Pesach Ha'ov V'Hu Acharav, that she heard not that Avram Avinu was behind her, but that Yishmael was behind her. Not that she was listening in the hallway, but she heard Yishmael behind her. And she thought Yishmael was going to give her an ayin hara. She's going to become pregnant. He also heard that she's going to become pregnant. He's going to give her an ayin hara. So what did she do? She laughed it off. Ha! That was only a joke. Can't be serious. So that he wouldn't take it seriously and he wouldn't give her an ayin hara. And what does she say? Ha'af umnam eleid vanizakanti. Again, hey, aleph aleph, or aleph aleph hey. Because she evoked the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, that prevents ayin hara. Or in Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov Avinu wants to marry Rachel, so he says to Lavan, "Hava es ishti, give me my wife." And Rashi already is startled by the language, aggressive language of Yaakov Avinu. But again, perhaps he was evoking that name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aleph Aleph Hey, that is used to prevent Ayin Hara. He said he wanted to get married to Rachel without being disturbed by the Ayin Hara. Or when Rachel wants to have children, so she complains to Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu responds, "Well, is it my fault? Asher mano mimech privaten? Is it me? It has nothing to do with me." He says, "Hasachas Elokim Anochi." Well, am I in place of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Asher mano mimech privaten? But what is the Rosh Tevas? Hasachas Elokim Anochi. Rosh Tevas again, Aleph Aleph Hey. He said it's because of an ayin hara. That's why this happened to you. Or when Avram Avinu embarks on his trip, Parshas Lech Lecha to Eretz Yisrael, so Kadosh Baruch Hu sends him El Haaretz Asher Areka, to the land which you will inherit. Again, Aleph Aleph Hey, that you should go to Eretz Yisrael without an ayin hara. And in last week's parsha, when he goes to the Akedah, so it's El Eretz Hamoria, to the Hara Moria, to the Makom Hamikdash. Again, Aleph Aleph Hey. So the Sefer Karnayim says in each one of these instances, it was the name is evoked in order to prevent ayin hara. So what bracha did Lavan give to Rivka? He gave her the bracha of preventing ayin hara, of achaseinu at hiyi l'alfei rivava, you should multiply a thousandfold. Anyway, the Brisa Masechtas Kala derives from here a source for the mitzvah to make sheva brachas, to give a bracha to the chassan and kala, just like Lavan gave a bracha to the chassan and kala, to Rivka and to Yitzchak. What kind of bracha is the sheva brachas? So the Ran writes in Masechtas Psachim that we make the bracha after the chassan and the kala enter into the chuppah. That's what you're supposed to do, because it is not a birchas hamitzvah, which is made over lasiyason. Like we make a bracha on the talis before we put it on. We make a bracha on the tefillin before you tighten the knot. You make a bracha on lulav before you shake the lulav. It has to be over lasiyason before you perform the mitzvah. Here, this is a birchas tefillah. It's a tefillah to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and also takes the form of a birchas shevach v'haidah. We're giving a bracha to the chasen and kala, and a shevach v'haidah to a Kaddish Baruch Hu over the institution of marriage. So therefore, that happens after it takes place. Just like every birchas shevach v'haidah, a bracha of praising a Kaddish Baruch Hu, which we make after the event takes place. So to the birchas shevach brachas are made after the chasen and kala enter into the chuppah. But if you look over here at Ois Beis, the Ran quotes from the Rambam, Aval HaRambam Kasa Perikid Mehochas Isha Shetzorach Levarach Vaisan Koidem HaNisuin Chen Das HaRambam. It's supposed to be made before the Nisuin. So the Ran claims that's not because the Rambam feels that this is a birchas hamitzvah, the mitzvah of getting married or the completion of the marriage, which is made over Lasi Yosan. It's rather because the Brisa tells himself this kala, kala b'loi bracha asura l'baila kenida. That a kala, until before she receives sheva brachas, is prohibited to be with her husband. So how can they have yichud if they haven't first had sheva brachas? It has to be made prior to the cheder, a yichud prior to Nisuin. However, the Beis Yosef understood the opinion of the Rambam more simply, and that is that the Rambam feels this is a birchas hamitzvah, and the mitzvah of getting married is the birchas hamitzvah is sheva brachas, and therefore it has to be made prior to the chas and the kala entering into the cheder hayichud. So even though we really passing like the Ran, we make sheva brachas after the chas and the kala already standing underneath the chuppah, and according to the Ran, nisuin is the chuppah. Nonetheless, we are choshesh for the opinion of the Rambam. And therefore, we make sheva brachas before they enter into the cheder hayichud, which is over lasi yasam. But in which case, we should try and expedite the chasen and the kala to get to the cheder hayichud. You know, we should try as quickly as possible after the sheva brachas to make sure that the chasen and the kala get to the cheder hayichud as quickly as, you know, not to delay getting to the cheder hayichud in order not to have a hefzik between the sheva brachas and the cheder hayichud. Since the sheva brachas, though, we really passing like the Ran is a bracha to the chasen and the kala, a birchas shevach v'haidah, and praising the Ribbono Shel Olam for the institution of marriage. So this is really a bracha that's incumbent upon all those who are present to give a bracha to the chasen and the kala, to give a birchas shevach v'haidah to Kadosh Baruch Hu over the institution of marriage. The bracha does not belong to the chasen and the kala. It's the bracha of all those who are present. And therefore, the people who are going to say the bracha are the representative of all those who are gathered. So it should be people who all those who are gathered would choose as their representative. Bracha doesn't belong to the chasen and the kala. So it shouldn't be the chasen's best friend. It shouldn't be the kala, you know, the family friends. That's not who everybody would choose to be their representative to say the brachas on their behalf. It should be maybe the parents of the chasen and the kala, the grandparents of the chasen and kala, maybe the chashuv rabbanim who are there, who the people, community rabbanim, who people would choose to be their representative to recite the brachas on their behalf. Because the bracha is not the chasen and kala's bracha. The bracha is the bracha on behalf of all those who are gathered, either giving a bracha to the chasen and the kala or on the institution of marriage. The Gemara says, and Masechta the Sukkos over here on Daf Zayin Mebeis, that in order to recite the sheva brachas, it has to be in the presence of 10 men. Minayin lebirchas chasanim ba'asara. What's the source for that halacha? So Rav Nachman derives it from the pasuk in Megillas Rus, that Boaz gathered 10 people, mizikney ha'ir, before he married Rus. Why did he do so? Says Rav Nachman, in order to recite sheva brachas, and sheva brachas have to be recited in the presence of 10 men. Not only the sheva brachas at the chuppah, sheva brachas throughout the following days as well. Rabbi Avo, though, learned it out from the pasuk in Sefer Tehillim, which says, "B'makhelois birchu elokim Hashem mekor Yisrael," that it had the bracha has to be performed b'makhelois in large gatherings, a kohol, and a kohol is only constituted by 10 men. Why does Rabbi Avo reject the pasuk of Rav Nachman, the source of Rav Nachman? So he explains that it's because Boaz gathered 10 men. Not any men, but mizikne ha'ir. They were the elders of the city. Why did he have to gather the elders of the city? It could have been any 10 men. Birchas Hasanim, there's no preference that they be zikenim or tamid chachamim. So why does it have to be mizikne ha'ir? So he says, no, Rabbi Avo, you know why he gathered 10 men before he married Rus? Because the Pasuk tells in the Parashas Kisei that we're not allowed to marry anybody from Ammon and Moav. So how was Boaz allowed to marry Rus? Because Chazal Darshan, Amoini v'loy Amoinis, Moavi v'loy Moavis, only the males from Ammon and Moav are prohibited from intermarrying within Klal Yisrael. The Gemara explains in Masechta Yevamos, because why are we not allowed to marry Ammon and Moav? Because they refused to provide us with bread and water on our way out of Mitzrayim. So who didn't provide us with bread and water on our way out of Mitzrayim? So the Gemara says only the men didn't provide us with bread and water, because the woman, it's not her way to go out and greet guests traveling along the road. Because kol kvuda bas melech penima, the women are typically found inside of the home. Where is that halacha derived from, by the way? Halacha is derived from last week's parasha, when the malachim ask, Aye sari ishtecha, where is sari your wife? The malachim will come to visit Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu responds that she's inside of the tent. That's where we derive the klal of kol kvuda bas melech penima. So the fact that Boaz was only able to marry Rus is really because of the zechus of Sarah. The Sarah was found inside of the tent. Since women are found inside of the tent, so it's Moavi v'loy Moavis. You're not allowed to marry the males of Moav, you are allowed to marry the females of Moav. That's why in Megillas Rus, every pasuk begins with a vav. Every single pasuk begins with a vav, except eight. There are eight psukim that don't begin with a vav. Fascinating observation, and there are many ideas perhaps contained within it. But the Rashi, Rav Shimshon Meir Shtepolia, who we mentioned before, the Rashi Tevas of those eight psukim are Yish'i Ba'oihel. My salvation was in the tent. Whose tent? Sarah Imenu, because Sarah stayed in the tent, kol kvudo bas melech penima. So we said it's we only punish the men of Moav. They're not allowed to marry within Klal Yisrael, but the women are. So the fact that Rus was able to marry Boaz, the salvation was in the tent because Sarah stayed within the tent. Anyway, so that drasha was made. Boaz, in order to marry Rus, had to make a drasha. Moavi v'lo Moavis. When did that drasha take place? He gathered 10 mizikne ha'ir Anche Knesset HaGdolah to make that drasha before he married Rus. That's what Rabbi Yavo claims the Pasuk is teaching us. Not that Shevar Brachas has to be made in the presence of 10 men. Therefore, he derives it from a different Pasuk with Markelus Berchu Hashem. Elakim Hashem Imako Yisrael. Either way, the halacha is that in order to make Shevar Brachas has to be in the presence of 10 men. Whatever the source is. However, the Shita Mekubetzes writes, why is that? Why do you need it to be in the presence of 10 men? Because it's a Dover Shevi Kedusha. Just like Kaddish and Kedusha, Baruch Hu Chazaris Hashatz has to be in the presence of 10 men, so too Shevar Brachas is in that same category of Brachas, that is a Dover Shevi Kedusha, has to be performed in the presence of 10 men. Because it's a Dover Shevi Kedusha, the Pesach Rav disagrees with a Psak of the Mishnah Brura with regards to the Bracha of Hagoymel, that a person recites after he's saved from a precarious situation in miraculous fashion. That as we know, when a person is saved from such a situation, he makes the bracha of Hagoymel, and the Gemara tells himself, this bracha is quoted over here in the Shulchan Aruch, Reishu Tesef Gimel, that bracha has to be made in the presence of 10 men. Tzarech Levarech Bracha Zu Bifnei Yud. And the Gemara says, two of them have to be Talmidei Chachamim. V'trei minayhu rabbanan. It's not ma'akev. You can say the bracha without it, but it's preferable that two people be talmidei chachamim. Because the pasuk says in Sefer Tehillim, v'yiroi memuhu b'kal om. We're going to praise the Kaddish Baruch Hu b'kahal om. Kahal is 10 men. That's a congregation. Uv'moshav zekeinim yahaleluhu. And we're going to praise him in the presence of zekeinim, of people who are talmidei chachamim. Fine. So when you're counting 10 men, does the person who's reciting the bracha count towards the minyan or not? So the Mishnah Berurah says, yes, he does. Im bal hanes, he counts. What's his proof? So in the Shaar HaTzion, he explains that it's because the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that when you say in Ksubis, when you're saying Shevar Brachos, the chosan is min haminyan. He also counts towards the minyan of 10 men. Shevar Brachos needs 10 men. The chosan counts towards the minyan. Well, if the chosan counts towards the minyan, why shouldn't the person who's saying benching goymo also count towards the minyan that you need in order to say Birchas HaGoyimel? So the Brisker Rav disagrees. He says the two are not the same. The reason why you need 10 men for Shevar Brachos is because it's a Dover Shebe Kedusha, like Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch, it has to be said in the presence of 10 men. But just like the Shliach Tzivor counts towards the minyan of 10 men, so so too the chasen counts towards the minion of 10 men. It's in the presence of 10 men that you need in order to trigger the obligation to say the bracha. However, the reason why you need 10 men for benching Goymel is in order to publicize the nes of what took place. He says that's why you need Talmidei Chachamim. Why should you need Talmidei Chachamim there? People who understand or who are specifically attuned to the Yad Hashem, who understand the gravity of what took place. That's why there have to be Talmidei Chachamim there, and to publicize it to the different demographics in Klal Yisrael, not just to the layman, but also it should be publicized to Talmidei Chachamim who can have a greater appreciation of what took place. But that has nothing to do with Sheva Brachos. The Haraya is, what's the proof? Because Birch Sagoimo has to be said in the presence of Talmidei Chachamim. However, the Gemara says in Masechtas Ksubis, Rabbi Avo argues, why did Boaz have to gather Zakenim in order to say Sheva Brachos? It makes no sense. Lo Sagid Elav Zakenim. There's no preference by Sheva Brachos to have specifically Talmidei Chachamim there represented, to have different demographics present. No need to have Talmidei Chachamim. So from the fact that the Gemara brushes off the need for Talmidei Chachamim by Sheva Brachos, yet by Birchas HaGoimo you specifically need two Talmidei Chachamim, that highlights the point that these two are very different. And therefore, the Brisker Rav argues that when you're coming to publicize the Nes, the Baal HaNes himself cannot count towards the minyan. You need to publicize it to the community, and publicize it to the community does not include yourself. You already know about the Nes. See, even though the chasen counts towards the minyan by Sheva Brachos, that's because it has to take place in a setting of 10 men, because it's like every other Davar Shebekdusha. But just like the Shliach Tzibur counts towards the minyan, the chasen can count towards the minyan. However, that's not the case by benching Goymel. That's an entirely different halacha that you have to publicize it to the Kol Yisrael. And it's maybe even preferable Talmidei Chachamim, and therefore the Baal HaNes himself does not count towards the minyan. But since the Sheva Brachos is a Davar Shebekdusha, so some unique halachas apply. For example, the Pischei Tshuva over here in Eben Ezer, Simon Samach Beis, where the halachas of Sheva Brachos are found, writes that if a person, the name of the Sefer Zohar LeAvram, that if a person begins saying Sheva Brachos with a minion, and then the minion leaves, meaning part of the minion leaves, you have to be left with, six people at least, but if part of the minion leaves, you can continue saying Sheva Brachos, just like the halacha is by Chazaras HaShatz, Kaddish or Kedusha, if a person began Chazar Sashatz with 10 people and one or two leave, you can continue as long as you still have 6. That's the rule by Davar Shebekdusha. You can't start Chazar Sashatz with less than 10, but you can continue Kaddish if you started with 10. As long as you left with 6, you continue Kaddish. So too, you can continue with the Sheva Brachos. As long as you began with 10, you can continue even though you no longer have 10. But because this is an obligation upon all those who are present, to say Sheva Brachos, to bless the Chasen Lekala, to praise the Kadosh Baruch for the institution of marriage, and when it has to be done in the presence of 10 men, because it's like a Davar Shebekdusha, and one person is going to be reciting it on behalf of everybody. So because that is the way the Bracha is structured, so in the Tshuvos of the Chavos Binyamin, which is Rav Shaul Yisraeli, who is Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshivas Merkaz HaRav. So he writes in his Tshuvos Chelek Beis Simin Pei that a woman cannot recite one of the Sheva Brachos. Because a woman, since the Sheva Brachos have to be recited in the presence of 10 men, like a Davar Shebekdusha, a woman is not chayv in Sheva Brachos. And therefore, she cannot serve as a Shliach Tzibor to be mighty, to exempt all those who are obligated. Because she herself is not obligated. She doesn't count towards the minyan. She was never obligated in the first place, and therefore she cannot be mighty all those who are gathered, the men who are gathered, in the obligation of reciting Sheva Brachos. Because also, it is an obligation on everybody present to bless, to bench the Chasen and the Kala, to praise the Kaddish Baruch Hu over the institution of marriage in the presence of 10 men, like all the Davar Shebekdusha, Rav Moshe writes in the Igros Moshe that everybody has an obligation to stay to the end of the wedding for the Sheva Brachos. Six people are going to say them on our behalf to be mighty us in benching the chas and the kala, but they're really exempting us. So we are supposed to stay till the end of the wedding in order to hear the Sheva Brachos. Rav Moshe says, what if you can't stay so long? So he says, you should have in mind when you wash that you're not, you don't intend to be meshtatef with the tzibur that's going to recite Sheva Brachos. So perhaps he never became obligated in the first place. But you have to have in mind when you wash that you're not going to plan to stay. Reb Shlomo Kluga argues in the Tshuvas HaElef L'Chashlomo that you don't have to have in mind when you wash, you know, you don't plan to stay. Because when does the obligation to recite Sheva Bracha set in on all of us to bench the Chosin and the Kala to recite a Bracha for the institution of marriage? When does that set in? So he argues that only sets in at the end of the meal, not at the beginning of the meal. Because the Pesachei Tshuva over here, Oisir Aleph, Pesachei Tshuva also in Simen Samech Beis, Yivkot Nid Beis, discusses the situation, which we'll get to in a minute, of a person or a group that's reciting Sheva Brachas, but they start the meal and then on the last day of Sheva Brachas. On the last day, so the Sheva Brachas ends once the nightfall. So it's no longer on the seventh day of Sheva Brachas. You can no longer recite Sheva Brachas after Tzeisa Kochavim, probably after the Shkia Sachama. You can no longer recite Sheva Brachas on the seventh day of Sheva Brachas. But what if you started the meal before, and you're going to conclude the meal after the Shkia, after Tzeisa Kochavim? So we know from Shabbos, if you begin the meal, Shabbos Shittis, before the Shkia and the Tzeisa Kochavim, even if you conclude after Tzeisa Kochavim, you can still say Ritzei. You start a meal before Rosh Chodesh is over. Even though the meal continues after, you can bench after, you can recite the Alevi Yavoi. Can you say Sheva Brachas? The last day of Sheva Brachas, you started the meal before, but you're not going to say Sheva Brachas till later. After the Shkia, after Tzeisa Kochavim. So the Pesachei Tshuva quotes there from a Tshuva's Ginas Varodim. The end of the first line. The Afla HaPoizkim Lenin Haskara Shel Shabbos or Shkai Shalini Basit Chios HaSuda Lenin Sheva Brachas Vadeh Ein Levarech. You cannot say it after the Shkia, Tzeisa Kochavim. So it says of Shlomo Kluga in the Tshuvas HaElef L'Shlomo that you see from here, when does the obligation to recite Sheva Bracha set in? Not from the beginning of the Suda, from when? The end of the Suda. So as long as I'm not there when they begin saying Sheva Bracha, I was never included the obligation to say Sheva Bracha in the first place. Because if we would go based on the beginning of the Suda, so then even though we began, since we began before Sheva Bracha concluded, even though that we're not going to say Sheva Bracha after the Shkia, after Tzeisa Kochavim, we should still be able to say Sheva Bracha. Because it already set in from the beginning of the Suda. Must be the obligation to say Sheva Brachas does not set in from the beginning of the Suda, only from the end of the Suda. So as long as you're not there for the end of the meal, he claims you could run out before the Sheva Brachas. But many people try and do like Rav Moshe, at least stay for the Sheva Brachas. But if you can't, then have in mind from the beginning, either don't eat anything, or have in mind from the beginning that you don't intend to be included within the group that's part of the meal that's going to say Sheva Brachas. The Gemara says in Masechtas Ksubis that Sheva Brachas are recited Mevarchim Birchas Chasanim Beveis Chasanim in the house of the Chasan and the Kala. But what type of gathering for the Chasan and the Kala warrants Sheva Brachas? So the Ran over here, Oiz Zayin, as well as the Kedusha Ritva over here, Oiz Ches, are of the opinion that any gathering that's to cover the Chasan and the Kala, you can say Sheva Brachas, even if it's not orchestrated around a meal. Any gathering will cover the Chasan and the Kala should warrant Sheva Brachas. The Ritva writes that we don't have the minig anymore to do Sheva Brachas, make Sheva Brachas, unless there's a meal there, because he says we don't have a minig to gather for the Chasan and the Kala unless it's around the meal. We just don't do that. We don't gather to do anything without having a meal. But he says, we always gather for Simchas Chasam Mekala focused on a Suda. So therefore, a minig is developed that we only say Sefer Brachas in conjunction with a Suda, but that's really, really one should require to be say Sefer Brachas for any gathering that's to cover the Chasam Mekala, even in the absence of a Suda. However, then the Ran, in the first line, quotes, Yesh Oimrim, She'ein Mevarchim Birchas Chasanim, Ela Bebirchas HaMozen. You can only say Sheva Brachas, not at a random gathering for the Chasan and the Kala, that's not in conjunction with the Suda, it always has to come together with benching. Meaning, that you can only say Sheva Brachas if there is a Suda, in conjunction with the Suda. And the Brisker Rav claims that this seems to be the position of the Rambam. Because the Rambam brings the halachas of Sheva Brachas at the beginning of Hilchas Brachas in the context of Birchas HaMazon. The Rambam says there's the first bracha of Birchas HaMazon, the second bracha, third bracha, fourth bracha of Atoy V'Ameitiv. And then the Rambam says that if you're in the presence of Chasam and Kala, you make another bracha, you make the Sheva Brachas. So the Rambam only cites the halachas of Sheva Brachas in the context of Birchas HaMazon. So Brisker Rav claims that there's a fundamental machlokes harishonim over here as to how did Chazal institute the obligation to recite Sheva Brachas. Was it only instituted in conjunction with Birchas HaMazon? Is part of Birchas HaMazon? That was how they instituted the bracha of the Sheva Brachas. Or no, that it's on any gathering of the Chasin and the Kala. We usually have a meal there, so we say it in conjunction with the Birchas HaMazon, but it never became part of the Birchas HaMazon. It's an entirely separate obligation called Sheva Brachas. Two separate obligations. So the Brisker Rav claims that this is in fact the same machlokes harishonim, same issue that's being debated by two opinions in the Ritva, Masechtas Ksubis, it's also Taisus and Masechtas Pesachim. How many cups of wine have to be present when you're saying Sheva Brachas? The Chidushi HaRitva, at the end of the first line, second line, quotes from the Brais Masechtas Seifrim that you have to have two kaisis of wine there. One kais of wine for the Birchas HaMazon, and a second kais of wine for the Sheva Brachas. Why? Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Pesachim, Ein oisim mitzvahs chavilis chavilis. You cannot do more than one mitzvah with one object, with one kais of wine. For example, the Gemara says, if a person is eating a meal on Friday, we don't do this, but if a person is eating a meal on Friday, and the meal concludes at the, it's Kiddush Elav HaYom, all of a sudden it becomes Shabbos in the middle of his meal, he's supposed to bench, and then make Kiddush on a Suda Shabbos. But he's supposed to bench on a kais. So, you have a kais of wine. Now, can he use the same kais of wine for Kiddush? The Gemara says, no, he can't. Ein oisin mitzvahs chavilis chavilis. He cannot do mitzvahs in bunches, two mitzvahs on the same kais of wine. So, too, says the Brais Masechta Seifrim, you cannot say a Birch Samazin and Sheva Brachas on the same kais of wine. You have to have two kaises there. Then, the Ritva, though, quotes his opinion, that, and what he claims is the minig, which is to say Birch Samazin and Sheva Brachas on the same kais of wine. One kais. Why? Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Pesachim that even though we don't say Birch Samazin and Kiddush on the same kais of wine, what do? We say when Yom Tov falls out on a Motzei Shabbos, we do what's called Yak Nahaz. We say Havdalah on the same kais of wine as the Kiddush. So the Gemara already asked the Kasha, how can you say, if Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilis Chavilis, you can't say Kiddush, same kais of wine of Birch Samazin, how can you say Havdalah on the same kais of wine as Kiddush? So the Gemara explains, the Ritva quotes it, it's Gemara Masechtas Pesachim, Daf Kuf Beis, the Ritva quotes it over here on the fourth line, that it's because, on the fifth line, it's because Kiddush and Havdalah are Chada Milsi, one theme. Kiddush comes to separate between Shabbos and Yemos HaChol, and Havdalah comes to dissolve that separation, also to separate between the Shabbos and Yemos HaChol. L'havdil min Kodesh L'Chol. Once at the beginning of the day, once at the end of the day, they're brackets around the day of Shabbos. According to many, we show them one mitzvah. So therefore, since they're Chada Milsin in who, it's two feet, it's two brachos, but it's the same theme, okay? So they can be recited over the same coast. As opposed to Birch Samazin and Kiddush, that are Trey Milin in who, two themes. So says the Ritva, you can make Birch Samazin and Sheva Brachos over one kais. You know why? He explains over here on the last line. Yeshua says, Tam leminig deloy domi lebirch Samazin. Ubirchas kasan and Ubirch Samazin and Kiddush. Benching and Sheva Brachos is not the same as benching and Kiddush. The Kevin Shamazin bola achar hasuda, since benching comes after the suda, he agoremes, that's what causes benching. And Birchas Chasanim bo gam ken ala suda. Sheva Brachas also comes only in conjunction with the suda. Like that opinion of the Ran and the Rambam, it blends it to become part of benching. So it also only comes in conjunction with the suda. He agoremes kechada milsa chashivi. It's like one theme. It's like Kiddush and Avdalah. So Brisker Rav comments, the same as found in the Nitziv in the Hemek She'ela, that this opinion, this issue that's being debated by the Ritva, is there one kais or two kaises, really hinges on that issue between the Ran and the Rambam, which is when do you make Sheva Brachas? Is it only any gathering for the Chasan and the Kala? It doesn't have to be in conjunction with the Suda. In which case, it's not connected with benching at all, and you should require two kaises of wine, because Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilis Chavilis. Or maybe it only is in conjunction with the Suda, like the Rambam, like the Yeshua Imrim that's quoted by the Ran. In which case, it's only in conjunction with the Suda. It could be, becomes part of benching, in which case it could be recited over the same curse of wine as benching. It wouldn't be a violation of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. How do we paskin on this issue? So Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions, whether you have to have one, you could use the same curse of benching in Sheva Brachas, so you have to have two curses. The Shulchan Aruch claims that it's one curse, that was the minig, that's he says the minig, and the Ramah argues that our minig is to have, as we know, to have two curses of wine. But the issue is really, does Sheva Brachas blend in to become part of benching? And this issue extends beyond just having one curse or two curses. Issue is relevant to other issues as well. For example, do the people reciting the Sheva Brachas have to wash and be benching at the time? Let's say a guy runs into the Sheva Brachas at the end. This happens many times, commonplace. And he's late, and they want to be mechabed with one of the Sheva Brachas. Can you have one of the Sheva Brachas if you're not benching now? It's the opinion of the Brisker of Rabbi Avadi Yosef, the Abi Omer, Rabbi Yashiv, is no, you have to be benching. Because one of the Shittas of Rishayim is that the Sheva Brachas becomes part of the benching. So much so, there's even one kais. It's not Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. It's part of benching. So then you have to wash and you have to be benching. However, the Chazon Ish argues that no, we make Sheva Brachas on a separate kais. They're two separate inyanim. We happen to do it in conjunction with the Suda, but they're really unrelated issues. So therefore, you don't have to wash. Even the guy runs in at the end, he can recite Sheva Brachas. Meikar Adin, perhaps the Chazon Ish is correct, but we are choshesh for the opinion that we should try and have the guys reciting the Sheva Brachas, he should wash. But if not, you can probably make one of the Sheva Brachas. Rav Moshe claimed a compromise. Rav Moshe says he should at least eat something. Even if he's not benching now, at least he could eat something, like he could participate in a mezumin. If you ate something, so at least if he ate something, he's part of the Suda. Even though he's not really benching now, I don't know, the compromise to me doesn't seem to really satisfy the other opinion. That was Rav Moshe's compromise. Another issue that comes up, so I know we try and be machmir that you should wash. Anybody who's reciting one of the Sheva Brachas should wash. But even if not, you could probably recite one of the Sheva Brachas. But that depends on this issue. Another practical issue that might depend on this machlek sarishayim is the Sheva Brachas part of benching, in which case you could even say it on one kais, or is it really two separate obligations, not part of benching at all, is with regards to that issue that we mentioned before. You're having the last day of Sheva Brachas. Sheva Brachas is counted like Lo Yaleinu, like Avelos. It's not 7 24-hour periods. It's 7 days. So you start counting, we paskin, you start counting from the time of the chuppah. It's actually machlekes. Chalkes machaykek, one of the commentaries in the Eben Ezra says you start counting from the chuppah. The Knesset Gdoyla says, famous machlekes, Knesset Gdoyla claims, one of the achrenim, you start counting from the time of the su'uda. Comes up. Let's say the chuppah is before the shkia, and the Suda is after the Shkia, right, after Tzeisik HaChavim. So which day is the first day of Sheva Brachas? So according to the Chalkas Mechaikik, that's the way we paskin. If the Chuppah happens before the Shkia, that's day one. The next day is day two. If the Chuppah happens after the Shkia, then that's day one of Sheva Brachas. If the Chuppah happens Bein HaShmashis, which could have happened last week, not going to happen anymore, but it could have happened last week. If it's Bein HaShmoshes, then okay, then we pass like Knesset HaGdoyla, then you count from the following day. But if it's before the Shkia, that's day one, and then you have, the next day is day two. So if let's say you have the Chuppah, happens on a Sunday before the Shkia, so what's going to be day seven? Day seven will be Shabbos. So a popular day for weddings is Sunday. So if you have a Sunday wedding, then the last day of Sheva Brachas will be Shabbos. Fine. Let's say you're having a Sheva Brachas before, you know, the seventh day of Sheva Brachas, and the meal is going to continue till after the Shkia, after Tzeisik HaChavim, which happens every time the last day of Sheva Brachas is Shabbos. So you're going to have, the last Sheva Brachas is going to be what? Shalosh Shudos. It's going to continue till after the Shkia, after the Tzeisik HaChavim. Can you still say Sheva Brachas after the Shkia, after Tzeisik HaChavim? So the Piskei Tshuva, as we mentioned before, quotes in the name of the Ginas Veradim that you cannot. Why not? You're going to say Ritzei. You're going to say Yalav Yavoi when you bench on for Shalosh Shudos because you started while it was still day. So you're going to make since you when you bench, you can still say Ritzei. You can still say Yalav Yavoi even though you're benching after Tzeisik HaChavim. So the Ginas Veradim argues, no, but this is not part of benching. That's because Yalav Yavoi and Ritzei are part of benching. So part of bench, you could bench after the tzitzik hakovim and still say retain yal v'yom as long as you started during the day. But Sherev Brach is not part of benching. Sherev Brach is an entirely separate issue. We make it a two crises of wine. Maybe you don't even have to wash. We discussed that issue. So if it's not part of benching, who's to say after the day concludes? You can still say Sherev Brach. If it would be part of benching, maybe one could make the argument that just like you say Ritzei and Yalva Yava after the Tzeitzik Chavim, you could say Sherev Brach too. However, according to our minig, that we use two separate crises, we understand that they're two separate themes, two separate ideas, obligations. Then really you should finish Sherev Brach before Shkiyas Hachama. So that's why many of Mahadir, my wedding has happened, we have a Sunday wedding, and we last day of Sheva Brachas was Shabbos, Shalashidis, we washed and benched before the Shkia. Many of Mahadir like that. However, the Chuvas of the Shevet Alevi, most people don't do that. The Chuvas of the Shevet Alevi, Vosner, he argues, well, Kedusha Shabbos extends, till Tosefa Shabbos, until you daven Maariv, so you can also say Sheva Brachas until your daven Maariv, even though it's way after Tzeisik HaChavim. That's what he argued. They quote the same in the name of Yaakov Kamenetsky. So again, here they quote from Ramayisha, made a compromise that you should try and bench while it's Ben Hashmoshes. You bench before Tzeisik HaChavim. So let's say standard shul daven's what, 52 minutes after the Shkiyas HaChama, 50 minutes after Shkiyas HaChama on Matzei Shabbos. So you should try, end a little early. Ramayisha says, bench within 40 minutes after the Shkia, try and come to some compromise, then perhaps it's still called the seventh day, a little bit. Maybe, again, some sort of compromise. But if you're in a, not worth making machlekes about it, So if people want to make the Sheva Brachas after, let them make the... I always say, be machabit somebody else, make the Sheva Brachas after. Great. In order to make Sheva Brachas, though, past the day of the wedding and the Sudas Chasana, any time after that, the Gemara says in Masechtas Ksubis, over here in Dav Zayin Mabez, that you have to have Panim Chadoshes. They're all subsequent days of the Shivas Yimei Amishte. If you want to make Sheva Brachas, you have to have Panim Chadoshes, people who weren't at the wedding. If you don't have Panim Chadoshes, you can say the last of the Sheva Brachas. You can always say Asher Baras Asim V'Simcha, even if you don't have Panim Chadoshes. But if you can't say all seven Brachas during Shivas Yimei Amishta, even if you're at a gathering for the Chasam Nekala, a meal, unless you have Panim Chadoshes, people who were not at the wedding. How many people do you need to be at your Sheva Brachas? This is not a minig, by the way. This is how you cannot say the Sheva Brachas. Many people arranging Sheva Brachas overlook this. They plan this because there's so many things that go into planning a Sheva Brachas. Who's invited? Who's this? Who's that? And they forget about the Panim Chadoshes. You have to have Panim Chadoshes. It cannot be overlooked. So how many people, though, do you need to be at your Sheva Brachas who weren't at the wedding in order to say all seven Brachas? So the Gemara is Beloshin Rabim. Panim Chadoshos. So Rav Ram ben Arambam quotes from his father, the Rambam, that you need two people at the Sheva Brachas, at all subsequent meals after the wedding in order to say Sheva Brachas. The Rav Arishanim disagree. They say it's enough with one. That's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. It's enough with one. Why does the Gemara then say it Beloshin Rabim Panim Chadoshos? Because every day of Sheva Brachas you need someone who wasn't at the wedding. Every day of Shivas Yimei Amishta, if you want to say all seven brachas. So you have to, that's many people, seven people. So that's Panim Chadoshos. But really, at every meal, all you need is one. Those who are Mahadah to do like the Rambam to have two, but that's a great chumrah. It's enough with one, yeah.
You need someone who wasn't at the wedding, or wasn't at any of the previous
If he was at the previous Sheva Brachas, he can't double dip. That doesn't count. It means you weren't at the wedding or any celebration on behalf of the Chasan and the Kawa. But what does it mean that you weren't at the wedding? Let's say I came for the chuppah, chuppah only, and you left for the meal. Are you considered to be Panim Chadosh? That's called being at the wedding. So the Rambam writes over here in Perek Beis of Hilchos Brachos Halacha Yud that even if you were at just the chuppah, you no longer serve as Panim Chadoshes. You heard the Sheva Brachas underneath the chuppah, you no longer serve as Panim Chadoshes. And the Rosh, over here, Oisi Dawud and Taisus and Masechtas Ksubis disagree. Their opinion is only if you're at the Suda, also. The Shmorg doesn't count as anything, but Only if you're at the Suda also, does that, can you no longer serve as Panim Chadoshes? But if you were just at the Chuppah, you can still serve as Panim Chadoshes. So Stipler writes in the Kilis Yaakov and Mesechtas Ksubas that there's a fundamental machlokes that we showed him here. What is the role of the Panim Chadoshes? Why do you need Panim Chadoshes without the Shivas Mei Mishnah in order to say all the seven of the Sheva Brachas? Because according to the Rambam, the reason why you need Panim Chadoshes is because every person, as we began with, every person has an obligation to bless, to bench the Chasen and the Kala. Like love and bench the Rivka. Or to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the institution of marriage. So, but everybody was at the wedding already. We did that, even if we didn't get one of the Sheva Brachos ourselves. Someone did it on our behalf. So you can't make Sheva Brachos throughout the rest of the Shivas Yemei Mishnah if everybody was at the wedding and heard one of the Sheva Brachos. But says the Rambam, the only reason you can make Sheva Brachos without the Shivas Yemei Mishnah is if you have someone who never heard the Sheva Brachos yet, who didn't give the bracha to the Chasan and the Kala. That's what the Rambam says. He didn't hear any of the Sheva Brachos. Mevarchin bishvilam. We can make the bracha on behalf of the Panim Chadoshes because he has an obligation to bench the Chasan and the Kala, and he didn't do that yet. But if you were there by the Chuppah, even if you weren't honored with one of the Sheva Brachos, someone said it on your behalf.
Oh, you can no longer have Sheva Brachos.
So the only reason we can say Sheva Brachos throughout the seventh Shivas Yemei Mishnah is if there's someone there who didn't yet bench the Chasan and the Kala. And we all have an obligation to bench the Chasan and the Kala. But if you were there for the Chuppah, you can no longer be served as the Panim Chadoshes. However, the opinion of the Rosh and Tosfos is, no, that the reason why I need Panim Chadoshes in order to say Sheva Brachos throughout the Shivas Yemei Mishnah is because what happens is, if you've ever been in, intimately involved in a wedding, whether your own or close relative, all the meals kind of like blend into become like one long day. I mean, it just keeps going on and on and on in meals. I mean, it feels like it gets monotonous almost. It feels like just like one long meal. So how can we make Sheva Brachos again? We just made it yesterday, the day before. What's new? So says the Rosh HaTosfos, that's why you need Panim Chadoshes, because we're going to be marveh, we're going to increase the Suda for this new guest. He wasn't here yet. And, a party is only as good as its company. So once you have new company, now it's a new party. Break out the champagne all over again. So that makes it like a new meal. Oh, now it's a new meal. We can say Sheva Brachos again. Without that, it kind of like blends into a routine, a monotonous routine. And therefore, we can't recite Sheva Brachos. That's why you need Panim Chadoshes. That's why the Russian tries to say it was only if you can't serve Panim Chadoshes later on, only if you were by one of the meals. You attended the meal of the wedding. If you were just at the Chuppah, you didn't have the meal yet. Oh, we didn't have a L'chaim with you yet. Oh, so then you could serve still at the Panim Chadoshes because you'll reinvigorate the meal later on throughout the Shivas Yemei Mishnah. But once you were at the meal, you can no longer serve as Panim Chadoshes later on, or certainly if you attended a Sheva Brachos previously, cannot serve as a Panim Chadoshes later on. How do we posit on this issue? If you just attended the chuppah, can you serve as Panim Chadoshes? Again, two opinions here in the Shulchan Aruch, Simin Samach Beis, Siv Zayin, can you serve as one of the Panim Chadoshes? The minig is to be meikel. Like Taisus and the Rosh, that since we're going to increase the Suda on your behalf, and you didn't participate in the Suda Schasana, you can serve as the Panim Chadoshes. But the Stipler continues that many issues, other issues, seem to hinge upon this dispute. What is the role of the Panim Chadoshes? Is it because every person has to make Sheva, to bench the Chasan and the Kala? And if you haven't benched the Chasan and the Kala yet, it's really his obligation, the obligation of the Panim Chadoshes? He can, divvy it up to other representatives, but it's really, as the Rambam says, Mevarchim b'shvilo. Or, no, it's because it breaks up the monotony and we're going to increase the Suda on your behalf. And therefore, it's only you can't serve as Panim Chadoshes only if you intended one of the Sudas Nisuin. So one difference will be, the opinion of Taisus and the Rosh is, if you look over here, the second line of the Rosh, that Shabbos Chashuva Kepanim Chadoshes. Shabbos is in place of Panim Chadoshes. The Rambam never mentions that Shabbos can serve as Panim Chadoshes. So the Stipler claims that this issue hinges upon this Machlaikis. Because according to Taisus and the Rosh, why is it that you need Panim Chadoshes? They reinvigorate the meal. Oh, now it's a new meal. Oh, it doesn't feel like it's a continuation of yesterday. Shabbos never feels like it's a continuation of yesterday. We always increase the meal on Shabbos. So you'll say, well,
Friday night already. What are you increasing Shabbos morning? So the answer is, the Gemara says, that the kavod of the yom, the kavod of the day meal, is greater than the kavod of the night meal. That's important to keep in mind, by the way. You're supposed to have more dishes, more courses at the morning meal than at the night meal. The kavod of the day of Shabbos is greater than the kavod of the night of Shabbos. That's why when Shabbos now is getting short, some people, in order to chap around Shalosh Shudos, if you're at the Shever Brachos, will have a chap. What are you going to do? You'll wash by the Kiddush, that'll serve as the lunch meal, and then the real meal, when everybody sits down together, will be Shalosh Shudos. You can serve money, that way you don't have to serve Shalosh Shudos. Otherwise, you get stuck. Kiddush, lunch, Shalosh Shudos. You got be eating from the morning to the night. So what do? Wash by the Kiddush. Oh, and then the Shabbos meal will be Shalosh Shudos. Perfect. Shalom al Yisrael. So the answer is, it saves money, and I'm not going to get into any, you know, the way of anybody saving money, but it really is improper, because Kiddush is never as elaborate as the Shabbos meal. So the greatest covet of Shabbos is supposed to be by the morning meal. So the morning meal should really be not just a Kiddush, a piece of cake and a little cholent. It's supposed to be a big meal. So that's it's really, you know, not the best to wash by a Kiddush, because the day meal is supposed to be even more elaborate than the night meal. Okay, so the day meal is more elaborate than the night meal. Oh, that's a new meal, panim chadoshes. And what about shalosh shudos? So the Rama says shalosh shudos, we're going to make a drasha. Someone's going to give, you know, chesed shatayra. So that's like panim chadoshes, a whole new thing. And then you didn't have, you know, whatever. You serve different things by shalosh shudos. Okay, so that also breaks up the monotony. Shalosh shudos is also considered to be panim chadoshes. That's because we're going to be marbin the Suda. That only works for Taiz and the Rosh. The Rambam never mentions this because the Rambam feels the whole the need for Panim Chadosh is to have someone new who didn't bless the Chasen and the Kala yet. Yeah, and how does Shabbos help on that score? So you might say, well, Shabbos, there's people who haven't been there yet. Maybe sometimes. Usually Shabbos, Shever Brachas, is all the people who were by the wedding. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes this as a Yesh Oimrim. Look over here on the fourth line. Yesh Oimrim, the Shabbos, V'yomtif, Rishon V'sheni, Havi Kapanim Chadoshes. The Taisis and the Rosh feel that that's considered to be Panim Chadoshes, we marbe in the Suda, but for the Rambam, arguably Shabbos would not be considered Panim Chadoshes. Then the Stipler continues, another issue should hinge upon this Machlaikas, and that is, who constitutes Panim Chadoshes? Can a woman serve as Panim Chadoshes? So if you look earlier, over here, Oishei, the Pesachei Tshuva, Simisam, and Beis Kon, Yedalit quotes in the name of the Sefer Zohar Le'Avram, a woman cannot serve as Panim Chadoshes. Why not? So the Stipler explains that this seems to follow the reasoning of the Rambam. Why is it that we're going to say Panim, why did we say Shavu Brachos only in the presence of Panim Chadoshes? Because we have someone new, we're obligated to bless the Chosen and the Kala. And we have someone new who didn't bench the Chosen and the Kala yet. Oh, make Shavu Brachos Bishvilo for him. But a woman is not obligated to recite Shever Brachos. We already said a woman cannot say one of the Shever Brachos. She's not obligated to say Shever Brachos. Like a Dover Shever Kedusha, it has to take place in the presence of 10 men. So since a woman is not obligated in Shever Brachos, she cannot serve as the Panim Chadoshes, because according to the Rambam, the only reason we're making Shever Brachos is so the Panim Chadoshes can bench the Chasen and the Kala. So if a woman is not obligated to bench the Chasen and the Kala, she cannot serve as one of the Panim Chadoshes. However, the Stipler says, if the Pshat is like Tosfos and the Rosh, that the reason why we make Shever Brachos only in the presence throughout all the subsequent days of the Shivas Yimei HaMishneh, the reason why we make Shever Brachos in the presence of Panim Chadoshes is because we're going to increase the Suda. Oh, now it's like, you know, a new guest at the Suda, we're going to start the party all over again, because we haven't made a L'chaim with you yet, you haven't participated in any of the Suda's Nisuin. So the Chassam Sofer makes the argument in his Chidushim HaMesech Tzuvos, why can't an Isha Chashuva also reinvigorate the Simcha and serve as Panim Chadoshes, V'marve B'Shvila. So they quote in the name of Rabbi Yashiv that if you're in a pinch, a woman could also serve as Panim Chadoshes, but ideally the minig is not at least when you're planning it, should not be that a woman should be one of the Panim Chadoshes. The minig is not to be choshish for the opinion of the Rambam. The minig is not to use a woman for Panim Chadoshes. The minig is to use a man who's obligated in making one of the Shever Brachas. Another difference will be, and Stipler makes all these points, who do you have to give the Panim Chadoshes, one of the Shever Brachas? Does he have to get one? You use him for Panim Chadoshes, but does he have to get one of the Shever Brachas? So again, if we're only making the brachas on his behalf, because he hasn't been Shachasin in the Kala yet, we should ideally give him one of the Shever Brachas. That's the right thing to do. We're only making the brachas because he's here. And he's obligated to bench the chassan and the kala. We can serve as he can dole out, divvy up the kibbutim to others. He doesn't have to make all seven. We should at least get one. But if it's no, it's because we're increasing the suda. Now that you're here, you don't necessarily have to get one of the Sheva Brachas. Or another issue is the issue that's raised by the Ramah. The Ramah brings up the issue over here, the last line of Ois Tezvav. Does the Panim Chadoshes have to wash? Does he have to be partaking of the suda or not? So I'm sorry, the third line, the Ramah says, even if they're not eating there. So that should only make sense if it's because he hasn't benched the chasen and the kala. He has, oh, you're here. Now we could bench the chasen and the kala. You're obligated to bench the chasen and the kala. But if it's because we're being marbed in the suda on your behalf, you should probably eat something. I mean, the whole reason that you're able to serve is panam chadash, you're going to increase the suda. We're increasing the suda out of in your honor. So then he should probably be, if it's a, you know, if you're the guest of honor, you should probably eat something at the suda. It doesn't make sense that he's not invited to sit down if he's serving as a panim chadashas. And finally, the last issue that hinges upon this is the issue that Taisus and the Rosh bring up, is that the panim chadashas over here, Oisidala, near the Lomikri, panim chadashas, b'nei adam shemarben b'shvigom simcha yoser. What about if it's a stranger? Well, you realize in the haste of planning the Sheva Brachas, you forgot to invite Panim Chadoshes. So you say, oh, but we're at a kosher restaurant. We'll bring over the waiter. Waiter, Shalom Aleichem, now you're part of the family. Sit down, Panim Chadoshes. So, you're not being marbe in the cover of Bishvil, the waiter. I mean, we're not going to increase the, you're not the guest of honor. I mean, it'd be a little disingenuous to call him the guest of honor at this meal. So can he serve as Panim Chadoshes? Taisus and the Rosh say no. He can't. But according to the Rambam, if the reason is because everybody has an obligation to bench the chasen and the kala, he didn't bench the chasen and the kala, and okay, let him come, and he'll give him one of the Sheva Brachas, and he'll bench the chasen and the kala. So the Paiskim say, ideally speaking, it should really be someone, according to the name of Rav Moshe, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shom Zalman, ideally speaking, be someone who were marbe in the Suda in your honor, and you know, we're going to increase the Suda in your honor, but Sternbach, Rav Yashiv, say like the Rambam, that if we're in a pinch, so then we can assume like the other approach that it's because you haven't benched the chasen and the kala yet, so we'll give one of the Sheva Brachas to the Panim Chadoshes and allow him to bench the chasen and the kala, and we'll all recite the other brachas on your behalf because you haven't benched the chasen and the kala yet. I'll just make one final point, and that is if you're going to take the stranger, pluck him out, you know, and use him as, but I don't think that's ideal. Ideal, you should invite a man who wasn't by the wedding, either the chuppah or the meal, but if at least he was by the chuppah, perhaps it's okay still. A man who's the chasen and the kala know, it can't just be the people making the Sheva Brachas know, it's my neighbor. Unless if the chasen and the kala don't know him, it's a little odd. It should be someone the chasen and the kala knows, or maybe the chasen and the kala's family knows, who are going to increase the meal on their behalf. That's ideally speaking, he should wash, and he should participate in the meal. But if you're going to pluck the stranger out, the waiter, and make him one of the Panim Chadoshes, you should at least honor him to sit down and be part of the meal. He shouldn't be clearing the plates as we're saying the Sheva Brachas, and he should be given one of the Sheva Brachas. I mean, if he's we're making the brachas on his behalf, you got to give the waiter, you know, more than a tip. He's got to get one of the Sheva Brachas also. Okay, Shkoyach.